Hey everyone, Happy New Year. It's Roman here from the Independent Thinking Show for Fifth Wrist Radio. This is our annual tradition. You know, we record a Happy New Year and sort of a recap episode, which tends to get recorded last minute, doesn't have any editing, and essentially me just, going off the top of my head, trying to remember the year that's been and thank all our guests and co-hosts. First, thanks obviously to you as the listeners. We really appreciate you tuning in. I love getting comments from people who enjoy the Independent Thinking podcast and the other podcasts from the Fifth Wrist Network. I love hearing that you're enjoying these. We certainly enjoy making them for you and meeting cool people doing stuff in the horology space that we think is worth paying attention to. Some people ask me often why I don't talk about the news, like the shit that happened this year with, Amiga Museum doing the stuff that they're doing or the auction world exploding. Multiple reasons for that. A, I don't care for the main part. B, other news outlets or horology places do it better or with more interest and care. And thirdly, what I'm actually interested in is kind of the people behind the scenes and the creators actually making positive contributions. I'm less interested in the drama, to be honest. But the main thing really to say is thank you very much for listening. If you are listening, telling your friends and co-workers and other people you tend to bore with these things that we talk about our hobby. So we really do appreciate it. And thanks for reaching out, being in touch. 2023 has been a tricky year, obviously geopolitically and otherwise, so we won't dwell on that. What I wanted to pause and say a huge thank you is the co-hosts from the Fifth Wrist Network who do this craziness with me, who do the Independent Thinking Show with me. And this year, obviously, we've had Adam at Medium Watch, who is almost my, podcast wife or husband or spouse or whatever the appropriate word is. We've done quite a few shows together. I always enjoy sharing the stage with him, and I learn a lot from the way Adam prepares for the podcasts because we do prepare for them a lot. He's very thoughtful in his approaches to questions. I think we bounce ideas quite well off each other, so I hope you enjoy that as well. But Adam, thank you so much. I love your work, love what you do, and just how you approach the topic of horology in independent space in particularly. Adam's own personal collecting does tend to lead a lot heavier on Patek and Rolex than I do, for example, but you don't hear me holding it against him too often, so that's good. I guess once a year I can rant about it here. This is a safe space. My second co-host this year, I've been lucky enough to share some episodes with Klaus at Tapir FFM, and Klaus is delightful. Of course, you know this. He brings this sort of boundless enthusiasm both for independent watchmaking and just for people in the industry. Klaus is tireless in kind of setting up visits, doing stuff on YouTube with the German channel and the podcast. And just, he's just delightful. Klaus is just one of my favorite humans. So he's just a ball of wonderfulness. I've been really lucky to share some episodes with him. And of course, that's always a pleasure. And finally, I think this year I also shared a couple of episodes with Phil at Pippi on Instagram. And once again, Phil is just awesome. He is just, really enthusiastic, really passionate, really knowledgeable, just an all-around nice human. The other thing that you probably don't know is Phil has managed to reignite my love for the football club Arsenal, which is his great passion, and I've started to care about them again after not caring about them for a long time. So that's a contribution that Phil made to my life outside of watches. And of course, that's just great. Particularly now that Arsenal is doing relatively well and coming second. Hopefully they can win again. And actually return, to winning ways and actually come first. Hopefully we can dislodge, Manchester City out of the Premier League either by results or hopefully Man City get, penalized out for all their, financial shenanigans with 150 odd charges against them, or not charges, but accusations against them or something. So hopefully something good will come of that. But Phil, it's been awesome. I was lucky enough to catch up with Phil last year, must have been. So we spent a bit of time together in London. And it's always a pleasure to talk to him and, share a stage, some episodes. And I guess, of course, our main kind of stars of these episodes other guests that we have. And we've been really lucky to have some really, really wonderful guests this year. I'm going to run through them to thank them all. The reason we do these podcasts, and I think hopefully you will agree as listeners, the reason I like doing these is we as hosts don't really bring an ego to these podcasts, or at least we try not to. We create this as a platform for our guests to shine through and actually tell the world and our listeners about kind of their passions and why they do what they do and why they care. You know this as listeners, we don't have any commercial interests. We don't have any sponsors. So we really only talk to the people we actually want to talk to. And I hope that comes out through the episodes. And I've been really lucky just looking back at the people we've spoken with on the podcast this year. I think we've done 18 episodes, which is, you know, we try to get a few more out next year. We keep saying that every year, and you know, my own life's getting a bit busier. You know, I'm doing a master's at the moment, and you know, there's some family issues with my dad passing away late last year. So that's you know, the life sort of gets busier and busier with parenthood and stuff. But we do try. So what we don't try not to compromise on is the caliber of guests that we bring. And this year, we've had some cracking episodes on independent thinking. We've sort of spoken to, you know, creators or people in the industry that we want to talk to across a number of continents. I think we've done three or four continents. I've lost count. You know, and hopefully you've enjoyed the range. So if I just sort of roll through them in reverse chronological order. So if we look at the episodes, you know, I'll count from December back. So our last episode obviously was with the great master watchmaker Martin Braun. That episode was recently released just before Christmas or just after Christmas, depends when you listen. And with a previous guest, Scott Goldman, called Instagram One. And Martin, you know, is one of my horological heroes, really, is sort of an early indie watchmaker. I'm a huge admirer of his work. Hopefully you enjoyed that episode and you learned something from it. Martin's watch is now back in production. So the EOS, which is a fantastic sunrise sunset watch, definitely encourage you all to check it out. Maybe order it if you like it. I have one of those. I really love that watch. It's a genius piece of horology. So thank you to Martin. Thank you for Scott. Scott's always delightful to talk to as well. If we go back a bit, the previous episode to that was with Alex Koo and talking about his amazing collection of pocket watches, Pocket Genius, that was on display at the Horological Society of New York. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Alex really brings, he's a young guy, but brings a really unique thoughtfulness to the way he's approaching collecting, and he's managed to assemble like a tremendous world-class collection of pocket watches that were on display till December the 4th. I was actually gutted. I'm heading off to New York in late December, but I just missed the show because it closed the HSNY, so I won't actually get to see it in person. I got the catalog. It's an amazing collection. So everyone, hopefully, definitely get the catalog if you can, or hopefully you had a chance to see the exhibition. It was just an amazing thing. Before that, then we talked to Judd Phillip at Fortis. Klaus and I did that, and once again, it was really cool to hear about Judd and kind of how he's really entering the Swiss industry, you know, trying to rebuild and re-energize Fortis, which is once again one of those horological brands that I had a very strong emotional attachment to, particularly in early horology, so in my early collecting. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that episode. And once again, I think Judd brings an interesting new perspective to how to run an indie brand and how to reposition it and how to re-energize not a historical brand because that has been in existence for a while, but more a brand that perhaps wasn't as dynamic as we would like. So now it's a cool thing, and they are doing some really interesting things with Fortis. Before that, then we talked to Casper at Vitrium Watches. And once again, so Casper and his partner Naomi, who does the enameling, business partner, it's a really cool, once again, I love, one of the things I've been really enjoying exploring on the podcast is this sort of craft aspect to horology, how everyone who enters the space, the best sort of independent makers, try to make their mark on something, whether it's design or movement decoration or innovative complication or just heritage craft. And I think Vitrium, Casper has done this really cool thing, Vitrium Watches, where Naomi's an amazing enameler. I should definitely check out her Instagram, just the jewelry and the watch dials, but the jewelry that she also makes. Just amazing craftsperson. So having those two join forces to do stuff with Vitrium is really lovely to see. So hopefully, if you've listened to the podcast, you might have ordered their watches. And if not, definitely check them out. So Casper, really enjoyed speaking with you to get to know you a little bit more, but also just getting to know your process and kind of the way you approach watch design. It's been really, really cool. A good friend, Chris Manning at Silverhand. Chris is delightful. I met him in person in London last year, the Watch Company of Clockmakers dinner. And now we had a chance to talk to him a little while ago about as he was just starting to think about creating watches. And now when we spoke to Chris this year, he's actually got the new watch out. It's once again, a really, really cool thing. Lots of craft, lots of skill. Chris brings this wealth of experience in sort of jewelry making and pen design and now injecting it into watches. And hopefully you guys will have checked out his new watch. Hopefully some of you may have ordered a new watch already. Really, really cool. Nice to see, you know, a new talent, kind of a new talent in watch space, but bringing this sort of wealth of experience in metallurgy and metalwork and jewelry design and pen design into this horology space, which is really, really cool. And Chris is in North America. He's Canadian. So far we've had, you know, Europe and Canada and the US. And now we're going to, you know, jump across the ocean to our own Ruben Scoots. Once again, so Ruben's a friend of the podcast, a Canberra-based, Australian-based watchmaker. We spoke to Ruben a while ago when he was just starting out his first watch and just kind of the approach. And now when we had Ruben on the episode this time, you know, he was telling us about his second watch that he's released, and I think it's sold out or just about sold out now. I'm pretty sure it's sold out now. Which is awesome just to see, A, how much he's progressed, how much his sort of skill is advancing, but also just he's starting to make a name for himself now and following up and building on the existing customers now, following up with second orders and stuff. So we, once again, of course, we wish Ruben all the best. He's just a cool guy as well, young guy. We always very thoughtful in how he approaches things. So real pleasure to talk to Ruben and hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Once again, then we go episode prior to that, we jag back across to Europe and we chatted. So Klaus and I talked to the boys at Maurice de Mauriac, so Leonard and Massimo Dreyfus. And again, Maurice de Mauriac was a brand I sort of heard about, was on my radar, but not really. I haven't paid attention for a while. And once again, talking to those boys, just really cool to see how a family-run brand embraces, sort of finds a niche and really does their thing in a really thoughtful way. So, you know, talking about colors and the different collaborations and partnerships they made, like the tennis watch and a few other things that they've got, and sort of tinted crystals and stuff like that. It's just a really, really cool conversation. It turned out quite a moving conversation. So when we recorded the episode with them, we talked a fair bit to Leonard and Massimo about their father, Daniel Dreyfus, who started the brand and obviously sort of expanded and built it up. And unfortunately, Daniel passed away very soon after the episode was released. So condolences to the boys, and we expressed them then, and we sort of second them now. Losing your father is always hard. I said, I lost my dad late last year. So, you know, and Daniel was certainly, when you talk to people in the industry, clearly was a beloved man, beloved, and who left a big legacy and who left a mark on the industry. So, you know, it was delightful to sort of be able to shine a little bit of the spotlight on the brand. Particularly at the time when, Daniel was so close to passing. So hopefully you enjoyed that episode. I really enjoyed getting to know that brand a little bit more. Once again, we'll jag back across to North America again, and we talk to another Canadian watchmaker. Prior to that, that was Aaron Sarauer in a small town of Saskatoon, home of, you know, Gordie Howe and Joni Mitchell as well, from memory. Who knew? The tiny, tiny town, but lots so many talents. And Aaron's it was really cool to get to know him. Once again, young guy, brings a really cool handmade watch, beautifully designed, sort of classic with a twist, lots of skill, lots of passion, and hopefully that came through. I really enjoyed talking to Aaron. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. Hopefully you checked out the watch. I think the watch is beautiful, like utterly, utterly beautiful. So it was really cool to get to know him. And once again, nice to sort of talk to a young guy or a young person entering the space, bringing sort of his classical training in watchmaking and really going his way and doing things his way and making something really beautiful and stunning. So that was really, really cool. We'll scoot across back to Europe. We talked to a number of people named Roman on the podcast. So Adam talked to an amazing watchmaker, Adrilio, Roman Weniger. And Roman was just, it was one of those independent thinking with Roman without me, the Roman, being there. But Adam at least managed to find a much better Roman to talk to in Roman Weniger. And hopefully you guys enjoyed that episode. I really did. It was one of those things where I wasn't involved in the episode, but it was a real pleasure hearing about all the stuff that Roman's done, particularly his own sort of creations and the projects he's worked on. I really enjoyed that purely as a listener. I had a vicarious pleasure hearing Adam talk to Roman about that, which was great. We then strayed slightly out of the world of watchmaking and into sort of the ocean, the auction world with Paul Boutros. And Paul's, very well known in the industry. It was lovely to sort of talk to Paul about kind of his own kind of interesting journey from a pure enthusiast, because I remember interacting with Paul Boutros through the old watch forums, which was, a million years ago. He won't like that. So maybe not a million years ago, but a little while ago. And now it's so cool to sort of follow Paul's path in through the auction world and through, writing for the various publications and things. And I really enjoyed, we don't talk to a lot of sort of industry, in inverted commas, industry people, because I tend to find pure industry people quite boring, or at least they have a financial or some sort of angle that they're trying to, push through. I was really cool to talk to Paul, just to follow his own personal journey from, being a hobbyist now into being a, professional working at Phillips Auctions. So hopefully you enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that as well. So that was really, really good. Before Paul, we talked to Jeremy Frelichou, who was this brilliant movement constructor, sort of just a really amazing horological genius brain. And we certainly talked to him about all the various projects he's been involved with in terms of sort of movement optimization, but also about the Vanguard Tourbillon watch that he's producing. And that's absolutely bonkers. Possibly my favorite amazing, amazing, amazing watch. Just look at it. It's just a brilliant construction. Vanguard watches. That blew my mind when I saw the video of the moving watch. I encourage you to see it. If you didn't listen to that episode, didn't see the video, go check it out. It's an absolutely crazy black hole tourbillon watch. Absolutely brilliant. So Jeremy, it was amazing to talk to Jeremy. Just once again, understanding the people who work behind the industry, particularly around consulting and making projects happen, either for other companies or kind of outsourcing knowledge or providing sort of technical expertise to make the other companies run better, and then also producing his own amazing, incredible watches. So definitely, hopefully you enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that episode. And it was thank you to Adam for setting that up while he was in Switzerland. He met Jeremy in person and then teed up the conversation. Then the other episode we had, we spoke with Seth Kennedy in the UK, and Seth is this brilliant, antiquarian horologist, pocket watchmaker extraordinaire, just wonderful, wonderful guy as well. Just so thoughtful in his approach to stuff. And I definitely encourage you to check out both the episode, but also Seth's Instagram account. Mechanician, because he was always working really amazing projects. Recently, sort of involved in the restoration of this sort of Silver Swan automaton. It was just absolutely amazing, and also sort of as a side case, Seth was kind enough to restore a pocket watch, one of my pocket watches from a personal collection, and he's just done a brilliant job, just magic set of hands, and a lovely guy as well to talk to. So hopefully you enjoyed that episode too. Before Seth, Adam and I had the absolute pleasure to talk to Michael Schulber, who was the director of the amazing film, The Keeper of Time. If you haven't seen that film, I strongly can't encourage you strongly enough to go see that. But it's really thoughtful film about kind of time, the concept of time and sort of what it means in terms of both watchmaking, but more broadly sort of how it affects us, how we relate to time. And I found that film really, really moving, and definitely found the way Michael approached the film and how the film came together. Really fascinating. Once again, very, very moving story, both because Michael sort of lost his father and subsequently I've lost my father. So I've sort of really related to that. I recently went back to listen to that episode again. And when Michael talks to sort of losing his dad at a relatively young age, you know, I sort of reflected on sort of losing my dad. My dad's older, but still, you know, still quite shocking, but also just still how you sort of relate to time and how you value the time with your loved one. So it was a brilliant episode. It was a brilliant movie. So everyone should absolutely see the movie. Obviously, if you're this far into this episode, you might as well listen to the to an episode with Michael Silber. It was a really good, thoughtful podcast as well. Brian and Michael, we talked to possibly the funniest, and I say this with absolute love, the Peter and Albert from Zeitwinkel Watches, possibly the funniest German watchmakers I've ever spoken to, possibly. Obviously, apart from Klaus, who's really funny, the funniest German people I've ever spoken to, Peter and Albert, just purely delightful. I'm laughing now just thinking about it. They were just wonderful, just the way they kind of tease each other with so much sort of admiration and, you know, clearly affection. It was just really lovely. And the watches they make are absolutely amazing. And if you're listening to this in North America, once again, this is a non-commercial plug. It just occurred to me as I'm staring at a blank computer screen recording this. Zeitwinkel watches have recently become available through Collective. So Asher Rapkin was a previous guest on the podcast and, you know, friend of the show, great guy. He's now carrying Zeitwinkel watches in the US. So you should absolutely check them out if you want to handle them in person. I think Asher's getting a couple of watches in. Non-commercial plug over. But yes, you absolutely check out the episode with Peter and Albert. Again, from Zeitwinkel. Yeah, those guys doing really cool watchmaking, really beautiful watches, but approaching it from quite a interesting way as an independent maker. You know, they make automatic watches completely in-house, German silver bridges, just beautiful, beautiful sort of classical watches, but with a little sort of modern twist and done with sort of care and passion and real little dedication to kind of making something that will last and be beautifully made. And made with care. So strongly, strongly, strongly encourage you to check them out. And they were just hilarious, those guys. So I laughed a lot talking to Peter and Albert from Zeitwinkel. And then we're coming towards the end of the last few episodes, which were sort of earlier in the year, of course, because we're doing it in reverse order. The boys from Solabs, we talked to Rick and Andrew from Solabs about their Solabs 2, which was their automatic watch that they released early 2023. Which I, full disclosure, I have now. I also have the first series when they made the quartz one as well, obviously bought with my money at full retail, all of that kind of stuff. It goes without saying, but just, I really like, A, they're playful and sort of interesting to talk to about design, kind of how they approach things, but also just fun guys to talk to, you know, just bring a unique perspective and unique view and unique vision, if we can say that. To kind of creating something that, yeah, that are modern, but also comes with sort of this history of design because they, you know, they're into the particular design aesthetic. So hopefully you enjoyed that. That was their second appearance. Adam and I talked to Rick and Andrew. I think it was last year or the year before. Must have been last year. So this was their second episode, second appearance rather than talk about their new watch, Solabs Layer 2. Hopefully you enjoyed the watch. I really enjoyed that. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. I really enjoyed the watch. So, and I have it now. It's just beautiful. Like a perfect weekend watch. Very fun. All right. And we started the episode, the very first episode of the show. We talked to Helbert about, or Hellboy on Instagram. And we talked about kind of how he's created this sort of horology club, this sort of horological community. And they are doing some really cool things now with sort of collabs with brands and things. But we're really sort of fascinated about, you know, they sort of created this community of friends, a little bit like what Fifth Wrist does, you know, probably not quite as good as ours, but it's not a competition, obviously. No, it's just really cool. So hopefully, wow, just flicking through it, I'm just kind of looking at all the things we've done this year. Really, really cool. Hopefully you enjoyed it. As I said, I absolutely did. So we talked to, you know, community, people who build communities, people who make movies, done sort of different brands, we've done engineers, we've done craft, We've done movement optimization. We've done crazy tourbillons. We've done some really cool things. The other thing I guess I should say, so hopefully you enjoy the episodes. I really did as well. One person I forgot to mention is Guy Gohari. Not sure why I forgot Guy. My apologies. We talked to Guy. Guy's episode was really interesting because we recorded it quite early in the year, but it took a little while for us to actually produce and put the episode out. So really good to talk to Guy about, you know, Guy's Murillo 55. He sort of deals with the New York-based sort of dealer and collector, and he deals with particular sort of shape watches and vintage watches. And it was just, it was just a really cool episode, but it took a while to produce. So hopefully you enjoyed it. I really enjoyed talking to Guy. Vintage is not a thing I particularly care about usually, but I found the way Guy approaches that sort of in design and spirituality and kind of a lot of things we talked on that episode were quite deep and meaningful and spiritual. So hopefully, hopefully you enjoyed that as well. One thing I was going to say, actually, thinking about the episodes we've released, I do want to say a particular thank you and as a mark of appreciation to the people whose episode, to the guests whose episodes we've recorded but haven't yet released. A little peek behind the curtain. You know, we sometimes record an episode and it takes a little while for us to put it out because they sort of go in the can and they go in the queue. So unless there's a particular, time stamp or we need to release and buy a particular model release or something, the episodes can sit a little while in the queue. And we've had a few a few episodes where we've had to push up in the queue. So if you've been a guest on the show and we've recorded an episode and it hasn't appeared yet, first of all, my personal deepest thanks for you for coming on the show. And I promise you we will release your episode as soon as we can. And I say this with a particular guest in mind who, bless his soul, is very patient. But he was a great guest and it'll be a good episode when it comes out. So, that's probably enough of my rambling. We're nearly at half an hour and no one needs to hear my voice longer than that at Christmas or during the festive season. So once again, hope you had a good 2023. And I want to wish you, if you celebrate maybe Christmas or Hanukkah's good gone, obviously, but Kwanzaa or whatever the spiritual holiday of the season you celebrate, have a great end. I wish you and hope you have a great end to 2023. And hope if you're listening, you have fantastic 2024. Thank you for listening. Please stay tuned. We've got some really cool episodes. Well, obviously some of them are already in the can. And if they're not in the can, they'll be released. There's no shortage of guests we want to talk to. If you'd like to be on the show, do get in touch. TimesRomanAU is where you find me on Instagram. But if you also have a suggestion for a guest we should have or you'd like us to talk to, do send me a message, myself or Adam or Klaus or Pippi or Alex the Watch Regulator or any of the Fifth Wrist crew, just let us know. We're happy to sort of, take suggestions. We always enjoy that as well. But on that note, I just want to once again say a huge thank you for listening. Thank you for your messages of support and criticism and feedback and all of that. We appreciate all of that. I like people who stay engaged. Be well, stay safe, and we'll see you again in 2024. But for now, we'll say what we always say. Stay on time. Cheerio.
Hi, this is Adam.
And Roman.
And we are at the Met in New York City.
For no reason other than to see some art and meet up in person for the first time in our lives.
We actually originally met at the playground next to the Met, but it seems like the perfect place for us to meet.
So it's been awesome to actually meet Adam and get to know him a bit in person. He's just as magical as I thought he would be.
And I'm neither shorter nor taller than I appear online.
Correct. Much more handsome though. Much more handsome. That's not a filter, people. That's what he looks like.
I'm not sure about Roman, but you'll have to use your own judgment.
But thanks, everyone. A big hi to everyone at Fifth Wrist. And also thanks for listening to the podcast. We really enjoy making the episodes I hope you enjoy listening to them.
Likewise, thank you to both all our participants from the New York area, as well as from around the world. This would not be a wonderful podcast without you and all your enthusiasm and engagement. So best wishes for a happy new year. We are wishing you wonderful things in 2024 and in the years ahead.
Well said, beautifully. And the podcast will continue. We'll resume. New episodes already in the can and will be released shortly in the new year. So thanks, everyone. Happy 2024.
Happy 2024.
Stay on top.
Have you made an honest review? Jump onto fifthwrist.com and read real takes by real owners about their watches. And of course, get involved and write about what's on your wrist. Fifthwrist.com is your independent space to talk watches.